This Known Leader podcast is presented to you by your friends at Lifeway Student Ministry. We want to help you lead students to know God, own their faith, and make their faith known. You can find other incredible student ministry resources as well as Fuge Camp information at www.lifeway.com/students.
Welcome to another episode of our Known Leader podcast. I'm your host, Rick Prawl, and we are continuing. This is our second session in our Decisions unit of study. The question this week is, how can God guide my decisions? Last week we talked about, well, why does God even care about the decisions I make? And we determined that He does care. And so this week we're going to get into, well, how can He guide those decisions? I'm still here at Centrifuge Camp at Jeunesse Park up in the northern part of California, and I've still got Kent Jenkins here with me. He's the pastor at First Baptist Church in Cypress, California. Kent, how are you?
Well, I'm doing a lot better, even though it doesn't sound like
it. That's right. It sounds pretty rough. It's at being up here in the mountains.
So. Well, I apparently caught something just before I left home, and I felt really bad the first few days of camp. I feel much better now, but I sound horrible, so my apologies to your ears.
So this is not what you normally sound like.
No.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time, you know, here during some of our free time to help go through these sessions with Known. You know, Kent, we're looking this week, we're looking at four life principles out of three verses there in Proverbs. There's a lot of stuff in these three verses, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. You know, some things to help us understand that, you know, how can God guide my decisions? The first thing that we see here is that we're supposed to trust Him with all your heart. What do you see in those verses, and what does that mean to trust God?
Well, I think that, first of all, these three verses are, especially 5 and 6, verses 5 and 6 are verses that I committed to memory a long time ago and come back to often. In fact, I even wrote a little chorus to the using the text of verses 5 and 6.
Oh, cool. Because
they mean so much to me. But as we start out and we look at this, the first thing is trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the first thing that I want to do with that is the thing that I've heard pastors do before. Now, if you study the Hebrew for that word all, you'll find that what it really means is all.
That's
and
right.
it seems like such a simple concept, and yet it's something that we so often don't hold on to. We say with our voice, yes, we trust the Lord, but then there are times, you know, when I'm dealing with adults, and we, you know, we come back often to the issue of tithing and stewardship, and they'll say, oh, I trust the Lord, absolutely, but then when it comes time to write the check, well,
right.
and the proof is in the pudding.
Right. That's a good point.
But it is a matter of trust, first of all, that we refer back to the last session. We trust that God's plans for us are good plans, and then we trust with all of our heart. It's a sold-out commitment.
That's good. And that, you know, as we think about students, why would you think that students have such a difficult time with this concept of trusting God?
Well, I don't know that it's just students. I've seen a lot of adults that have that too, but students, especially in junior high and high school, are really starting to try to stretch and develop a sense of independence from their parents. Parents go from being the heroes to being the enemy sometimes. And I think it's just kind of that mindset of trying to exercise their own independence. And we're taught in America, especially, that, you know, we can do anything and be
right.
anything, and we are absolutely self-sufficient. And I think it becomes difficult for a student to make themselves that vulnerable, if you will, to not being in control at a time in their life when they're trying to take control.
That's right. Well, and I think that, you know, we even live in a society that just shows so much lack of trust. You know, we have politicians that will say one thing, they get into office and they change their mind, so we can't trust what they've said. We have students whose parents have said, you know, I love your dad or your mom, and we're always going to stay together, and then they get a divorce, and how can I trust that? You know, we have teachers that say, I'm not going to give you a test, and then they give you a test, and, you know, there's a lot of lack of trust issues, and a lot of times I think that gets transferred over into our relationship with God. And then we look at this verse, trust God with all your heart. But you're right, it goes back to what the last session was all about, that God, you know, has good plans for us, has our best intentions in mind, wants to glorify Himself through us, and we can trust Him. The other part of this passage, which I think is really interesting, gets into our second life principle, don't depend on your own understanding. What do you see in those verses that helps us, you know, understand that we're not supposed to trust our own understanding?
Well, that's one of those things that as I think about leading teenagers, I think teenagers maybe haven't, some of them, many of them haven't gotten far enough in life to really have experienced a time when they leaned on their own understanding and then had to pay the price. I can think of times in my life when something has happened and I've thought, really kind of, I've got to jump in here and help God do this because I can see clearly from my perspective what needs to be done here. And so I jump in with both feet and then inevitably that ends up making it worse instead of better. It actually complicates things instead of making things better. One of the classic analogies about not depending on your understanding that I think of is the one of the tapestry. If you've ever looked at a tapestry, they just look gorgeous. They look beautiful. But if you look at the backside of a tapestry, they're ugly. They look like a bizarre collection of yarns and you can't see the pattern. And we remember that we are looking at the backside of the tapestry, that our understanding is the backside of that tapestry. And God's understanding is the front side, the beautiful side. And when we try to do it from our side, we get in trouble.
That's good.
And instead of letting God do it from His.
That's a great point. You know, and that flows right into the next life principle is that not only can we trust God with all of our heart, we're not to depend on our own understanding, but we can follow His guidance. What do you see in those verses to help us think about that idea of following His guidance?
Well, I think the first part of verse 6 helps in that a lot. In all your ways, acknowledge Him is the condition, and He shall direct your paths. When we trust, well, in verse 5 as well, when we trust in Him with all our heart, actual trust in Him, not just in word only, when we don't lean on our understanding, when we realize His is going to be better than ours, and then when we acknowledge Him in every single thing that we do, that's when He will, then He shall direct our paths. And, you know, a lot of times I've had students ask me about, you know, how do I know what His path is and how do I know what that is? And this is our guidance. We've got a whole instruction book here, and the more time we spend in it, the more we're going to understand about what His guidance is.
And we've included in the student materials this week just the image of a GPS, and you know that's becoming very popular. You know, more and more folks are familiar with GPS and using GPS. We have vehicles now that come standard with GPS. I'm pretty convinced that GPS is a man's invention to help us keep from having to stop to ask for directions. is that I no longer have to do that because I've got somebody telling me, you know, turn right here, turn left here, you know, go 500 yards, and then, you know, you're going to be at your destination. And sometimes we wonder, man, it certainly would be nice if God could do that for us. But as we look at His word, He has. He says, don't talk like this. Don't do this. Don't get involved in this. You know, go this direction. Do this. If we'll just stop and listen and read and follow His directions, we're going to get more into that in the next session, that He has provided ways to help guide us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, Kent, the last life principle this week is very interesting. As we look at this question, how can God guide my decisions? Is that we're supposed to fear the Lord. What is there in these verses that helps us see that, and what does that mean to fear God?
Well, this is one of the things that I come back to often because verse 7 there, don't be wise in your own eyes, it says first, and then it says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, I wonder, why are those two together in this context? First of all, if we think, again, as I said earlier, when we think we're wise in our own eyes and we try to go about things our way, we will inevitably mess it up because God's ways are higher than our ways. We don't understand the way He does. We don't see the whole picture as He does. So instead of trying to be wise in our own eyes, the verse says, we need to fear the Lord and depart from evil. And fear the Lord, always when you're working with students, I try to reiterate that that's not fear be scared of.
Right.
Yes, there is an aspect of God that we should be afraid of. He is a terrible and a powerful God. There's no doubt about that. But when we are His children, it's not be afraid of the Lord. It is stand in awe of the Lord.
Right. Wow.
That fear the Lord is more about paying Him the ultimate respect And then departing from evil follows right in line with that. If we fear the Lord, if we have respect for, if we stand in awe of the Lord, we understand His way is better than mine. We don't try our own wisdom, we try His. And in doing that, we will stay away from evil because that's what God wants us to do.
That's great. I really like the way that you explained that, you know, fearing the Lord. And leaders, you may want to just kind of rewind and play that again, because that is a good explanation of what it means to fear God and communicate that to your students. Well, leaders, as we're wrapping up the session, again, our question this week, how can God guide my decisions? We need to trust Him with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Follow His guidance and then fear the Lord. The point this week, trust God and follow His leading. Pray that you have a great discussion this week as you talk about these aspects. I do want to caution you on the front end that next week's session is all about how we can use prayer and the Bible to help us in our decision making. So this week, focus specifically on how can God, specifically as the person of God, guide us in these choices. Thanks for joining us this week. We look forward to having you again next week.